Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. Today, we are wrapping up ADHD Awareness Month with something a little different and a lot of fun. This episode is all about creativity, self-expression, and the power of play in adulthood, right? Just because we're adults doesn't mean we have to stop having fun. We are diving into expressive arts coaching, which is a unique and creative approach that helps people with or without ADHD strengthen their executive function skills through art, creativity, and imagination. My guest is Shane Swift, and Shane is an executive function coach with Beyond Booksmart, and she incorporates expressive arts coaching into her practice. She combines her background in education, her expertise in executive functioning, and her experience and training in creative exploration to help clients unlock insight and self-awareness, you know, that metacognition, through the expressive arts. And I'm thrilled to say that we're also joined by Jamal, who is one of Shane's clients. Jamal shared how this approach helped him communicate more clearly at work, deepen his relationship with his kids, reduce stress, and rediscover confidence in his own strengths. Jamal also shares how his employer invested in him by paying for executive function coaching and how his work experience has improved greatly since then. You'll also get to experience a hands-on activity with Shane, a fun, colorful reflection exercise that's designed to help you explore your current executive function skills and challenges and walk away with a way to see visually what skills need attention and what skills we know we can rely on. Well, maybe most of the time anyway. And because we can't get three people with ADHD together to talk about creativity without a little tangent, we even wandered into a short musical conversation that perfectly captures how expression and self-awareness can show up in so many forms. And if anybody wants to go out dancing with us, you'll find us in front of Jamal's DJ booth. So whether you are following Shane's prompts and doodling while you listen, out on a walk, or just taking a well-earned break, I am really glad to say that today's episode is a reminder that even as adults, we can and absolutely should make space for fun and creativity, and that ADHD brains, as challenging as they can be, do have some pretty awesome things about them. Let's get on with the show. All right. Well, Shane and Jamal, thank you so much for joining me on Focus Forward.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I would love for you both to introduce yourself. Shane, I'm going to start with you, and then Jamal, you can go after Shane.
Okay. I'm Shane Swift. I am an executive function coach here at Beyond Booksmart.
And I'm Jamal Kirk. Actually, I'm an admin at a prestigious university.
Cool. Great. All right. And Shane, you also have I don't want to call it a side hustle. That's not the right word. And in addition to being an executive function coach for Beyond Booksmart, you have your own business.
Yeah, I have my own business as a life coach, ADHD coach, and expressive arts coach.
And that is what we are going to talk about today, which I'm super excited. I remember when, was it Heather? Heather Teller, I think, mentioned your expressive arts coaching. I'm like, oh, we got to get that girl on the podcast because that sounds amazing. So thank you so much for taking the time. And how do you two know each other?
So I needed some support through work because I was having some executive function challenges and was able to reach out to my HR team, who was kind enough to set me up with a coach. And that's how I met Shane.
I love that. I love that so much. We are seeing more and more of that as time passes. More and more companies and organizations are learning about how many benefits come to the entire organization when the employees feel like their executive function skills are being supported. So thank you for being here and for sharing your story. So Shane, let's talk about expressive arts therapy, not therapy, coaching. It's not therapy, right? It's coaching. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that and kind of how you got into that?
Yeah, so I spent 30 years in education and transitioned to coaching. And sometimes you don't know what you're getting into. You think the grass is greener on the other side. Well, it is, but there were some things that I didn't know, and I didn't realize how much I was leaving. And working remote was really challenging for me. And leaving a 30-year career in education required a bit of grieving. So I turned to art as a daily practice, but noticed improvement in some of my executive functions, particularly emotional regulation. So, I know that art brings specific benefits, but didn't really understand the science behind it. So I looked it up. I started doing some research. And then I figured, well, I'm not in a position to become an art therapist. Well, I could if I wanted to go back to school, but no more school for me. So I decided, well, what's the next best thing? Are there any coaching programs out there that use art? So I found an expressive arts program and enrolled, and I absolutely loved it. And decided that I wanted to add this as a part of what I do when I coach clients that have ADHD.
I love it. So, can you define for anyone who doesn't know what expressive arts coaching is in the context of like executive function and ADHD?
Yeah, so it is the integration of basically creative exploration with ADHD informed coaching principles and executive function coaching principles. And what's great about expressive arts coaching is the client gets to use whatever they want. And there is an integration of writing, art making, storytelling, sound. It's a full integration of creative expression, and you do not have to be an artist to do it. So that's the key thing.
I love that. I love that. And so, why do you think expressive arts is so powerful?
Actually, for a few reasons, there's the science behind it. That's what I really enjoyed learning. So, one, you're engaging both hemispheres of the brain. So you are engaging both the analytical and intuitive parts of the brain. Two, you actually are able to kind of bypass a person's defenses to kind of engage emotions more immediately when someone is drawing and writing. People's artistic choices uncover things that we may not anticipate or expect that can give us an opportunity to ask questions that we may not otherwise be able to ask. Some of the neuroscience behind it basically involves activating like neural pathways of creative expression. So it like involves memory and engaging like self-reflection. One particular interesting thing about it is what we call like the dual coding theory, which combines images and words, which actually strengthens recall for people. And because lots of folks with ADHD are highly visual, that makes it even more important for us. The embedded cognition, like the physical act of creating something, is really important. And like I said, like art projects like the unconscious. So things that I've been able to understand about clients that I may not otherwise understand through art have been really revealing. And those images are anchors that I've been able to kind of support clients in carrying through their coaching journey.
That's really cool. So it helps with the discovery of all sorts of stuff, and then it gives you that thread to pull through to weave through, like we're embroidering through every. I love that. I love that. That's really cool. That's great. Thank you. Do you think that there is, have you ever encountered anybody who has kind of like a maybe make assumptions about expressive arts coaching and think that it wouldn't work? Or are people generally pretty open to the idea?
Oh no, absolutely. I've had people say, "Oh no, that's not going to be for me." And so I remember a recent time, this was in a group setting, as a matter of fact, and we were just kind of working on something, and one participant didn't want to show what she made. She ended up showing it to me later in a one-on-one session, but she wouldn't show it in the group session because she thought that whatever she created was going to be judged. But once she held it up one-to-one, we were able to discover some things. I think we were working on perfectionism, as a matter of fact, and the side that she had diagrammed with perfectionism, you could see the she was using a pen, and the pen was so heavy on the perfectionism side. She had even noticed that herself, and when she held it up, she showed me how heavy the drawing was on that particular side. So she had even noticed that, and she wondered why she had done it that way. But she was actually able to answer her own question almost immediately after she made the noticing, which was, really great. And this is a client who knows she struggles with perfectionism and always wants to be like so well put together. And it shows up at work and all these other places in her life. And she's actually been more open to the idea of expressive arts, like since that conversation. She was like, "Oh, I really need to work on that,"
That's
just
really cool.
like really trying to let go of perfectionism.
Yeah, I feel like I one thing that I try to do in my life is the things that I resist, I often think, I think that actually might be what I need to do. Not everything, but like, why is that resistance there? And so it sounds like she like really leaned into that, and she felt that resistance, but then found a way to safely explore it in the one-on-one situation. So that's really
Absolutely.
cool. I love that story. Oh, that's awesome. All right. So, is there anything else that you want to add about expressive arts coaching before we ask Jamal about his experience with it?
Other thing that I would add is that it invites playfulness, which I think is a really important factor, to remember.
Especially as adults, I feel like we lose that ability to play and to have fun. I don't know, not everybody, but many people I think lose that ability, or they feel like they might be judged, speaking of worrying about being judged. So I love that not only does it give people an opportunity to be playful, but you are like explicitly giving permission to do it, and a space to do it, and some guidance for anybody who might be like, oh, this is a little bit uncomfortable for me. So here's a little bit of structure to follow to help you explore your playful side. I love that. That's awesome. Cool. All right. So So Jamal, you working with Shane, Shane brought some of this expressive arts coaching into your coaching sessions. So how was that for you? And can you share your experience and how you kind of got to that point?
Yeah, we use it specifically to kind of work through, I guess, conveying information to people on my team. And so what I found in doing it was that, I probably think more visually, like most people probably visualize things, but I never really thought to map something out or draw something to kind of express what I wanted to express. And I think that that was a good, it was a good method to be able to make an analogy to the particular issue I was trying to address, but actually do it through a drawing. And it made a whole lot more sense because it's much easier to tell the story of what you're trying to convey using the pictures, in addition to the words themselves, right? And sometimes, and in that case, I was, I think the thing that I drew out was, we were talking about a concept of being able to have this ability as an ADHDer who have an ability to see things kind of way down field. And the picture that I drew was about a football field, which is, having that ability to be able to scan to see where the players are long before maybe other people know what's going on, and how to get the folks on my team to best utilize my abilities to have that clarity and depth of field to be able to see. And wanted to express how I can share that with them. And using the pictures and using art was a good way to express that.
So did you what came first? Did you say like I'm struggling to communicate something to my team, or and then you came up with that method, or were you trying to visualize how you were thinking about something and then you realized, oh wait, I could explain this to my team that way?
Kind of a combination of both, right? Again, when we think about, diversity in the workplace, often how people process information is often left off the table. And you wind up getting graded on things that you may not be necessarily great at and underutilized in the areas where you really perform well. And so my specific trouble was, task initiation and some other, cognitive functioning different difficulties around executive function. And the best way to communicate how to best utilize me was to explain, like, I have these visions. I can have this vision of being able to see things that may not be to someone else may not see how that's going to affect the overall operation of the business. But if I'm able to clearly explain to them what that looks like, then maybe I can get their ear and I can get them to look at that, look at the, look at it from my perspective and see how I'm adding value to what we're doing, the work that we're doing.
And there may be people in the room that also think the same way, but have never told anybody. And I bet, so how was it received?
Well, what I will say now is that as a result, I think that the folks that I work with the external teams that I work with are starting to really value this vision that I bring to the table as a, because they now they can see it, they can hear it, and I can paint the, literally paint the picture both physically and in words to express how these upstream processes that I see really affect the day-to-day operations of what we do. And if we want to get ahead, if we want to reduce bottlenecks, if we want to reduce being, having kind of a, being in a tight spot, did we really need to fix things way upstream long before it gets to us? And I think that often the solutions that we were trying to address were at the root of, they were where the bottlenecks occurred, right? So I'm saying let's not address it there, but if we addressed it further up, then we can get ahead of it long before it becomes a bottleneck.
I
And
love
I
that.
think that now that message is starting to take off. And I appreciate it. Like I said, some people in the room also were able to understand and see, man, this person, the way this person thinks is a little bit different. It's outside of the box. But I think more people now are starting to accept, the what my contribution is in that, in that ability to be able to see further down the road.
That's really cool. Yeah, when people come into a space with these thinking outside the box, super creative or whatever it is. And if it hasn't, if people in the room aren't used to thinking that way, then of course you're gonna be like, whoa, this is different. What is this? But I love that you were able to, that you discovered that. That's such a great story. I love that. And so how have you brought, how has that impacted your coaching? Like when you guys meet, do you like Shane, you were saying these creative opportunities gives you a chance to, they're like creates an anchor. So do you as Jamal's coach, are you able to use that example in your coaching to benefit Jamal's growth as a person over time?
Yeah, we circle back a lot to that example. And there have been other opportunities for him to use expressive arts. That's his favorite story to tell, but
Oh,
my favorite
yeah.
story to tell is his use of expressive arts to plan out his summer with his kids. I just love the way that that all fell together. Like he
Ooh.
came up with the theme, that he was, targeting for the summer, his vision for the summer, and had, these three columns laid out in terms of structured time and semi-structured time and non-structured time, and we looked at how he wanted the summer to feel for his kids. And what was really nice once he was done with the plan is it became a co-creation with his kids. So he took the plan home, talked with his kids about it. They gave their input. And I've just really enjoyed, hearing the continued synergy and co-creation, that he's developed, with his children, through that pro through, starting that process, through the summer. And it's just kind of been a thing that continues, ongoing through now the school year, with his children.
That's wonderful.
And it was just fun to, to see just the step-by-step execution, of each week during the summer and them going on trips and reading and family time, and like he had it all laid out, So all of the executive functioning, the calendar, the planning, even the day by day scheduling, it just like it I don't even think he gave himself enough credit,
I was just going to ask you, Jamal, how does it sound? How does it feel to hear her saying this about
Yeah, it
you?
sounds amazing. I'm like, did I do that? But it's true, because one of the things that I really struggle with is this rush of information that comes to my head when I think about putting things on a calendar.
Oh,
It
yeah.
really does create anxiety for me. So to have to map things out and put things on, and it's odd because I'm in a leadership role, so part of my thing is about planning, but
Right.
that is the thing that really gives me pause. And being able to kind of map those things out. Some of our sessions were working on really just calendaring, putting things on schedules and working through that. And over time, I have had a much better relationship with opening up the calendar. And I think the thing is, it's about keeping calm, right? Not letting this rush of overwhelm come to you because you have all this stuff that's coming to the forefront. It's like doing a brain dump. Like, I want to do them, but at the same time, there's so much information that's going to come out. There's like, I don't want to let that genie out of the bottle.
Yes,
So
yes. Mm-hmm.
incorporating my kids has been good. They've been great accountability buddies in this case. I keep them fully aware of, what my situation is. They know about ADHD
Oh,
a
good.
bunch. They're learning more about it. They're learning about, and they can see, they can, hear, oh, he's going back in the house again to go get something else.
We still haven't left yet.
They're very familiar, and they know how to prod things along. They can see when there's, when things are not moving the way they should be moving. So I've incorporated them as a part of the process too, so
That's
that
really
they,
cool.
as accountability partners, and to make it so that they're a part of the things that we do together. They're helping making the plans. We now have a shared calendar that we share among us to put things on.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that anxiety of putting things on the calendar is a lot less reduced now. When I see things that I know that I need to remember, my inclination previously when I might have been to pull out my camera, take a picture of it, or write it down on a piece of paper, which could be an envelope or this thing or that thing.
Who knows
But
where it
now,
goes after
yeah, now I
that?
just take the pause. Let me open up the calendar and put it on there, and now it's there.
That's really
And I
cool.
don't and I can relieve that portion of my brain and free up that space.
So
Because
do
now
you
it's in a
think,
reliable place.
I love it. Do you think that that exercise of starting planning this summer with that creative thing was the bridge to from the that stressed out place feeling about thinking about doing that kind of stuff to being able to do it like you are now? Do you think that that creative process got you there?
I think so. And even if I'm not physically drawing a picture, I am making a
Yeah,
mental map. So
yeah.
I'm kind of visualizing what the process looks like, right? As opposed to, I think having that picture helps execute and helps
Yeah.
make the process happen of writing the things down or putting things in place, incorporating the right people. Without it, I think that the overwhelm was a lot greater.
Yeah. That's really cool. That's really neat. Have you done any more of those exercises together? Have any other opportunities come up for you to explore with expressive arts?
Feel like they have, but nothing comes to mind
Oh yeah.
right now. Like we've been working on like work stuff. Yeah, we've been back to work stuff now. And we're down to like our last session, which I'm tearing up about. Like the next time I meet with them, it's going to be our last session.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm always so sad when my clients finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but look how much you've grown. Look how
Yeah.
much you've learned. I love that. And not to call out your age, but you're not, we're not, none of us are like super young. So this is great evidence that even if you are a full-fledged adult with a real grown-up job, you can still benefit from working on your executive function skills and from fun, a little bit of playfulness and fun and exploring
Absolutely.
something new. I love it.
Absolutely. And the key thing for me is the waking up every day and acknowledging that I can't trust my brain the way maybe a neurotypical person can. And so that acknowledgement in itself informs how I need to navigate the day. I try not to forget that I operate a slightly in a different way. And that alone then puts me in a position where I'm looking at calendars, I'm looking at schedules, I'm trying to stay one step ahead of things, I'm writing things
Yes,
down or taking note of
yes.
things, or getting it out of my head so I'm not utilizing those processing cycles in my own head and putting it in a trusted place where I can go back to it and feel safe that I know that that's where it's going to be.
Yes. Now that's something that's really like just kind of running through my head is what you just said, trust. I think so much of our of the feelings that we have as a person with ADHD is about like not trusting ourselves or not trusting our systems or just like struggling with that because we have kind of let ourselves down a lot in the past and maybe let other people down. And so figuring out how we can figure out systems that we can trust and how to learn to trust ourselves. And so I love that you can do this through art. It doesn't have to be through let's memorize this system and optimize, this let's optimize our, our planning system. Like, I don't know, let's do some art and see what comes out of it.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't have to be rigid.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that.
And I'll say one thing to Jamal's credit is that, I think he was open to it because he is an artist in his own right. He's Well, I'll let him share
Ooh,
what he
yeah.
does.
Oh, the art is actually, so I'm a DJ.
Okay.
But I, when people think DJ, people automatically think wedding DJ or like
Not
a DJ.
me.
I play in clubs and stuff like that. And so that is in itself its own art, right?
Yes, it is.
It's funny when we're talking about how making mental pitches, that visualization piece is super critical to not, you know, to being on stage or on display at an event. Visualizing what the people are going to feel, visualizing the
Yeah.
energy you're going to try to produce. And then again, without maybe sometimes it's, you know, it's writing things out, but sometimes it's just a visual map of here's the energy that I want to bring into the
Yes,
space. And here's how I'm going to
yes,
do it musically, right? I'm
yes.
going to start here. I'm going to see how that goes. And so my process for organizing a DJ set is quite a bit different than, you know, most DJs. I group music together in chunks of three, which is not a common thing. So it's, I know that I have these blocks of music and I can interchange the blocks depending on the energy in the space. So
That's
I,
really
you know,
cool.
I think that to tie it back, it really is a mental map. I am drawing a picture of what the experience is going to be like, what the
Yeah.
room's going to look like, what the energy is going to be like, and what my role is in that. And it's all through pictures, even if it's this mental picture where I'm not physically drawing it out, I'm making mental pictures of what that looks like, and then letting that inform how I move, you know,
I
through
love
the
that.
event.
And it makes me think about what you were saying before about at your work, like you see far ahead of where you want to go, where you want everybody to comp to go. Let's go there together and
Right.
how what we need to do to get there. So when you're feeling the energy in the room, you know where you want to bring people.
Correct.
I love going out dancing. And with DJs, it's like my favorite thing to do. My husband's
Awesome.
actually going to New York. He's in New York City right now tonight to go to see a DJ set. We really like he's really into melodic house. That's like
Oh
his,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm a house music
Oh
fan.
yeah.
Absolutely.
I
Yes.
mean, so we saw Lane 8. Do you guys know Lane 8?
No.
Okay, you should check him out. We saw him over the summer in Brooklyn, and that is what he does, Jamal, like exactly what you were talking about. Like, I felt like we were taken on this adventure over the night, and he just brought our energy around. And so I think you're right. You do have this vision of where you're going to go and where you want to bring everybody. And that is also an expressive art.
Yeah.
It's
Right.
right. It
Yeah.
doesn't have to be with a pen and paper. It could be
Yeah.
to be anything.
Yeah.
So what
It's
kind
a
of music do you now
it's
I
an
just want to talk about
exchange.
music.
It actually is an energy exchange.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that now it's become more performative where the DJ is the center of attraction and everybody's facing the DJ. But I am from the era where DJ booth was somewhere separate and you got to look onto the crowd to be able to create that. And people would dance together. We're in a different era now. But, you know, but there's still a combination of some of those things happening. You know, it doesn't have to be performative per se. It's really
Yeah.
about creating emotion and energy.
Yeah,
And so
it
the
yeah.
my primary genre is a genre out of the UK called UK Garage, if I'm saying it
Ooh, UK.
correctly.
Oh, okay. All right.
They
I'll
don't
have to
say
check it out.
garage, they call it
Oh,
garage.
garage. Yeah. Okay. You know,
So
so what you just said, okay, apparently this podcast episode is turning into a discussion about music. We just never know where we're going to go. But what we're talking about is creativity and and using our brains in lots of creative ways. So I just want to ask you quickly before we move on, because Shane is going to lead us all in a nice little exercise, a expressive arts exercise. But I want to ask you one more question, Jamal. When you realized that you needed support at feeling successful at work, what was the process like for you to get a coach and to, like, was it a difficult thing to make happen, or what was that journey like?
I was initially apprehensive about even discussing because I, you know, I felt that I built my own scaffolding and I haven't, you know, after a while you mask and you build systems for yourself in such a way that you feel like, eh,
Yeah.
what accommodations do I really need? And this, so there are no physical accommodations. I have an office. It's nice and quiet. It's, my kids did a phenomenal job decorating. I got stuffies all over the
Oh,
place and pictures and stuff like that. So it's a great space. So I didn't need that. It wasn't like I needed a quiet space that I can operate. I have that. I have flexibility. I can work remote. I can work in the office. I can come in late. I can stay late. Like all of those things that I could not figure figure out what accommodations do I need to support me, because I have the skill. It's just this piece of the brain. It just doesn't want to cooperate. And so the thought was a coach. So that was the only thing that I could think of. I'd never worked with somebody specifically to address the issues that I was facing. And again, it's sporadic, it's up and down. There's periods where I'm great and there's periods where I'm in the lull. And I had hit a period with my role where I was in the lull and it was looking dicey. And I'm
Oh,
like,
we don't
okay,
want
well,
that.
one way we could resolve this, and if you would and if they would be so kind, is to look at coaching. So we looked at a workplace accommodations. We went through like ADA stuff and what's available to folks. And they agreed that it was that the any monetary cost involved in that it was worth it to for the level of performance that I bring to the role. So it was a
Absolutely.
good trade-off. So I appreciate them for doing that, because again, it was thinking outside the box. That's an outside of the
Yeah,
box
it
solution
is. Yeah.
for a person who's having a dip in their performance, where it's not just not a sustained, but to get them back on the top part of the curve. This was a great solution.
I love that. Well, kudos to your employer for supporting you with that. I hope more and more. I hope that's the experience for more and more employees out there.
Yeah, we started a neurodiversity group
Yay, right on.
as well to get, and again, it's not for, people don't have to be neurodiverse, they don't have to divulge, they don't have to be,
Yeah,
they don't have
right.
to have any cognitive testing, but it's even just to be able to understand coworkers who might be neurodivergent in some way, being able to understand how to put the battery in the back of the people that they work with, and knowing what things are going to take the battery out of their back if they're, doing these specific things. So I just think it's important just in general to have that type of space, because it really does open, it opens diversity to in a different way,
Yeah,
right?
right.
How people communicate, how people, are motivated. That's really important as far as, being able to get the work done. And I think that more and more, as more and more businesses are starting to look at, again, we're kind of up against a political thing against diversity, but there's a positive impact on looking at cognitive differences between people and
Yes.
utilizing that to get the best out of the people that are in an organization.
Well said. Well said. All right. So, Shane, will you tell our listeners what we need to do, and maybe after you explain everything, maybe give people an opportunity to pause to go if they get any supplies they might need. Do we need supplies?
The plan today is to do what we call an executive function reset. What do I really need right now? The purpose basically is a creative, reflective reset to identify strengths, challenges, and priorities using expressive arts approach to what we call, or what I'm calling, the executive function wheel.
I
Now,
love it.
typically in life coaching, we do what we call a wheel of life. And the wheel of life usually has things like finances, career, health, personal relationships on it. And I got to thinking, well, why not do an executive function wheel since I'm an ADHD coach?
Yeah, right on.
So basically, you just need a blank piece of paper, and your favorite utensil, whether that be markers or crayons, colored pencils. We won't do music today, but typically I would turn on a little bit of music, and for whatever reason, my clients seem to love Miles Davis's Some Kind of Blue,
Oh,
that
yeah.
album.
Oh, nice.
So we usually play that. So that's really all you need. Just blank piece of paper and something to write with.
All right. Okay. So if you're listening and you want to take advantage of this, we're going to pause now and get what Shane just mentioned. Maybe you want to turn on some of your favorite music, and then we'll come back and do that. Okay, so hopefully you've gotten everything that you need. All right, Shane, take it away.
All right, so before we actually start, we always want to ground ourselves with the activity. So we're going to take a deep breath in. And blow out. And in one word, how's your focus or energy today? And you can either keep that word to yourself, or if someone would like to share.
The word fun came to me,
Okay.
which is funny because I just spent 2.5 hours right before this doing a long training, and afterwards I was exhausted, but now I feel energized.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So we are going to now talk about just some framing points for a second in terms of why we're doing it in this way. So basically, our executive functions are our brain's management system. And ADHD impacts these skills unevenly. So some of our executive functions are stronger than others. And the goal isn't perfection today, but it's more about awareness and support. So this is the reflection question that I just want you to think about. Which executive function skill feels like your superpower right now? And which one feels like it's running on a low battery? So I just want you to think about that for a second.
And will you name the executive function skills that you are referring to here? Because everybody kind of defines them a little bit different, but how do you
Absolutely.
list them?
So we are going to use the terms today, and I'll define them as we go. Through the activity, task initiation, working memory, organization, planning and prioritizing, emotional control, flexibility, self-monitoring, and impulse control. So the first thing that we're going to do is draw as big a circle as you can on your paper. All right, once you're done with your circle, basically we're making an 8-slice pizza. So down, across, diagonal, diagonal, until we got our 8 slices.
Got him.
All right. So this is typically how we do a wheel of life as well. So the center point is what we would call the zero, which is needs the most support. And then the outer edge is the strongest. So we're going to take a moment to label each piece of the pizza with an executive function. And we're going to put the name of each executive function over on the outside so that we're not interfering with the pizza slice. Yep, so we'll start with task initiation over the first pizza slice. Next pizza slice is working memory. The next pizza slice is organization. Next pizza slice is planning and prioritizing. Next pizza slice is emotional control. Next pizza slice is flexibility. Next one is self-monitoring. And that should be the last one, right? Or did I miss one?
Impulse control.
Yep. Yeah, the last one is right, impulse control. That was the last one that I was giving you. I wanted to make sure I was on number seven. Okay. All right. All right. So typically we would rate our satisfaction levels, which you're welcome to do, on a scale from 0 to 10, for each of those pie pieces. And because of time, we may just work on two today. So I'm going to read the definitions, and you can decide which two slices you'd like to work on. So the first one is task initiation. And that's getting started when your brain says, not yet. So the ability to begin a task without excessive procrastination, managing overwhelm, and finding a realistic first step, especially when a task feels boring or uncertain.
Sound familiar, Jamal?
Very familiar.
All right, next one is working memory. Holding information in your mind long enough to lose it. So this skill allows you to remember directions, keep track of steps in a process, or recall what you meant to say mid-conversation. So ADHD brains often drop bits of information before they make it into long-term memory. Organization, creating order in your outer world so your brain can breathe, it involves setting up systems for materials, time, and information. It's about having enough structure to reduce friction and mental clutter. Planning and prioritization. This skill helps you decide what to do first, next, then later. So mapping what matters most and sequencing the steps. And usually, if it's an ADHD brain, we think everything is equally urgent. Emotional control, managing big feelings without losing momentum. So the ability to regulate frustration, disappointment, excitement, or anxiety so emotions don't derail your goals. Flexibility, shifting gears when things change unexpectedly. So the skill of adapting to new plans, feedback, and obstacles. Self-monitoring, checking in with yourself in real time. So this means noticing your behavior, your energy, and your progress. So adjusting when something's not working. And finally, impulse control, pausing before acting so you can choose to not react. The ability to stop and think before speaking, spending, or switching tasks. So basically, that pause, small pause. Okay, so I want you to pick two pieces of the pie that you want to work on. Okay.
And should we just pick two randomly, or one that we're good at and one that we're not great at?
You can pick one. Let's do three. Pick one that's a superpower. And then pick two that you'd like to work on. We'll do that.
Okay.
All right. So for the one that you're picking that is a superpower, I want you to rate that one first. And basically, you can jot down the number in that pie slice, or you can approximate where in that pie slice you think the number that a dot belongs. So the zero is the closest to the center. A five would be in the middle of the slice, and then a 10 would be where the crust is.
And we put a dot.
Yep, you can put a dot. Yep. And I want you to do that for the two that you would like to work on. All right, now what I would like you to do with your utensil is to add, or utensils, is to add colors, symbols, and imagery to your slices. And this is where Miles would come in.
Hopefully you've got your music going, maybe with some Miles Davis. I love it.
Yes. And just for our listeners, the reason I like putting music on, one is because it kind of di it disarms the client. And two, I don't want clients thinking I'm staring at them while they're working.
Yeah. Well, when Sean does the editing, maybe I'll have him put some music in right now. All right, so now that we've all gotten Shane's wonderful instructions, why don't you pause the podcast and then work on filling out those three pie slices, pizza slices with the imagery that comes to mind for those. And then when you're done, you can push play again, and Shane will move us on to the next step.
So next steps are, now we'll basically share what we have. And here are some prompts that you can think about when you look at your own slices. Which slice looks or feels fullest? Which slice feels most out of balance? Did any connections surprise you?
So I was just looking at mine. I was trying to think about how I could learn from what I drew. And so for memory is a really big challenge for me. And so I drew a forest and then like these like squiggly lines that represent my thoughts of getting lost in this forest. And what I realized is I actually drew the trees wrong. I drew them with green trunks and brown tops. And so that tells me that, oh, I'm interpreting it in that that maybe I need to make things more clear for myself and like shine a light on things. And so if it's more clear and easier for me to see, then maybe I'm more likely to remember it. I'm not
So can I
sure.
ask a follow-up question?
Yeah, sure.
Because the next step would be to translate that into like a micro action, you know, because, you know, folks with ADHD, we're kind of like go big or go home people. Okay, well, you know, I'm gonna commit to, you know, 5 days a week of memory skills games. No. No. So it's like, okay, so what tiny change, you know, could you make that would create like clarity, you know, for you and then shrink it down to like what's doable for you? But I love the fact that you just gave yourself like something clear and actionable in what you just said, you know, in terms of a reframe. Your reframe was something actionable,
Yeah,
which I
that's
really
true.
enjoyed. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it as like not setting myself up for success because I know that I struggle with memory and yet I don't want to like shine a flashlight into the forest. I just want to remember things. I don't want to have to use a tool. I don't want to have to use a flashlight to see the things.
Yeah.
And so maybe then I end up making them wrong. Am I doing things wrong? Like I put the not wrong, but you know, I have the green trunks and the brown tops. So maybe if I make myself write more things down, you know, if I remind myself, if you write it down, then you will see it more clearly. If you write it down, that is like turning a flashlight on the things that you need to do.
I
And
love
it will
that
help me get
analogy.
me through my day, my forest of a day.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that.
Yeah.
Jamal, what did you come up with over there?
I think I've focused mostly on the obviously task initiation and planning and prioritizing.
What's your superpower?
Superpower, oddly enough, was self-monitoring, right? There's a level of introspection that I maintain all the time. So I'm always trying to find ways of, you know, of incrementally leveling up myself, right? And it never stops, which could be a bad thing too, because, you know, there's got to be an end game at some point.
Oh, now we're always growing and learning.
But those other areas is really, you know, when if I'm looking at it, I'm, you know, the imagery for those two things that need the biggest support, it really is growing in those areas, right? It's planting is and the seeds have been planted there already, so it's growing in those areas. It's being more lush in those areas, and I think that I've, you know, that I've been able to come quite a long ways in the time that we've been doing the coaching, and things that, you know, and just even from a, just having perspective, right? Having perspective, a variety of tools to tap into, that daily reminder that I function differently, and that's enough sometimes. That's enough to spark an order of operations for the day to get through the day. And more importantly, I give myself grace when I'm fall short of whatever it is that I thought I wanted to get done, that my brain was like, nah, not today, buddy.
I love that. I think you're probably also very good at flexible thinking.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. Oh, you guys, this was so great. Can we hang out all day?
Right.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on for this special conversation and episode. I love this. I love this. This is what happens when you get three people together who are creative and I don't know, good vision, good at visualizing something. Oh, yay, cool. Well, any parting words from either one of you? Anything that you want to you know, share and give a sending a message for the listeners?
It is ADHD Awareness Month, and I think we are some of the most awesome people on the planet.
Yes. I love it. What about you, Jamal?
Yeah, I think the same. I think it's embracing the challenges, right? And recognizing that those strengths are real strengths, you know. I don't know, you know, there's a lot of talk about superpowers, things like that. But embracing those things that come naturally, and even if other people can't see it, and other people don't see the value in it, those are the things that is just for myself make me super unique, right? Those 80, and I don't know if I would trade those for anything else. Like it's easy, you seem like you want to be, everybody, oh, I want to be neurotypical. I don't know. I think I would lose a lot of my spark if I was neurotypical. So this is all I know, and I'm just going to embrace it and just continue to work around the edges, work around the areas where it needs the growth.
I love it. And I think that it can be really difficult to see those strengths sometimes. And I think that this creative expression gives you access to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. I had so much fun recording this episode, and it was after a very long week and a very long day leading a 2.5 hour training. And I just had such a blast talking with Jamal and Shane, and I'm so glad you were able to listen. My main takeaway is that creativity is for everyone, people. You don't have to be an artist to benefit from creative expression, right? Drawing, journaling, music, movement, anything can help you better understand yourself and strengthen your executive function skills. Using our cognitive flexibility skills and our metacognition skills, we can really learn from our creativity too. Also, we adults sometimes need reminding that play and self-expression are not just for kids, right? Exploring creativity as an adult can really help us find joy and build self-awareness and remind us that growth doesn't have to be serious, people. It doesn't have to be serious. So don't forget to incorporate some fun into your day today. If you are interested in learning more about executive function coaching with Beyond BookSmart, be sure to check out our website, beyondbooksmart.com. If you are an employer, I'm super glad you listened to this, and I hope you check out our website for our corporate division, which is worksmartcoaching.com/training. And supporting your employees' executive function skills isn't just good for them, it's good for business. As always, this podcast is just a stop on your journey. It is not a substitute for medical or mental health advice. If you are struggling and need help, please reach out to a professional for additional support. If you have any thoughts on today's episode, I would love to hear from you all at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com. And thank you so much for helping us spread the word about executive function skills. When you share or review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of the other podcast places, it really does make a difference. So thank you. You can sign up for our subscriber email, in which we share resources and other information related to the show. You can find that subscriber link on our podcast page, beyondbooksmart.com/podcast. And as always, a billion million thanks to Sean Potts, editor and producer, who has always been so helpful and kind and patient. And to Shane Swift and Jamal for joining me, and to my colleague, Heather Tuller, for connecting me with Shane. Thanks for listening.